racing back to the warning track, to the wall. Upper deck, goodbye baseball.
The Jerry DePoto Show.
A tape measure home run by Nelly Cruz.
Every Thursday at 3:30 with Danny, Dave, and more.
The Jerry DePoto Show is brought to you by Metropolitan Appliance and Monogram Appliances.
Streaming on every device on the 710 Seattle Sports app and 710sports.com.
It is Danny, Dave, and more, and we are joined now by the general manager, Jerry DePoto. Jerry, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
You got it, guys.
Well, I know that the lack of transactions doesn't mean it was a slow trade deadline. It's our first opportunity to talk to you since that. How did that day transpire, and how did you find your first trade deadline as Mariners general manager?
Like always, it's hard to make trades. And as long as I've been doing this, it never ceases to amaze. You think you're close and you come up short, and other times you think you're far away and the deal's done in 10 minutes. But there's, as it works out, we had our hands in a lot of things. We had ongoing discussions with many clubs, two or three within the final hour of the trade deadline, and at least one that went right up to the final moments. But ultimately, we didn't get much done. And, you know, it's like we said throughout, we were going to be opportunistic. And the going rates for what we wanted to buy were maybe a little too high. And not, it just wasn't going to fit for us. And we weren't willing to sell off. We weren't willing to take the core group of this club and sell them out. We still feel like this group in 2016 has an opportunity to play very interesting and competitive baseball, and we get the right things going for us and get a couple of breaks here coming down the end. And this is a team that could sneak up on the playoff race.
Now, Jerry, you've said that you can still make trades in August. If the team is in contention, I think you're 4.5 back in the wild card right now, so you're still in contention, but how much more aggressive will you be if your team's in contention versus if they're not?
We're going to be aggressive in August regardless. You know, it's an opportunity in August. It's a little different than any other month of the year or, you know, here August and September. In order to be able to acquire a player, that player first has to clear trade waivers. So each of the other 29 clubs has to allow that player to go through unscathed, or you can claim a player. And if you are the claiming club, meaning if you are the club in reverse order of standings that essentially has the fewest wins of any club that has claimed him, then you have the opportunity in 2 days to work out a trade with that team for that player. So it's a little more complicated. It's no slam dunk, but trades are made in August every year around the league. There are a lot of players who pass through waivers that you would not believe would get through there. Excellent players, actually. And this is a great time to really clean up your roster, and especially the tail end of your 40-man roster, those 15 players who are either in the minor leagues or not performing for your big league club. It's an interesting month.
Hey, Jerry, you traded for Ariel Miranda. Tell us a little bit about him, because not a lot to look at as far as history, but what did you see in him?
Again, not a lot of history on our end either. Obviously, Ariel's only been in the United States for 2 years. He signed out of Cuba as a 25-year-old, had a vast experience in the Industrial League and with the Cuban national team. Very athletic left-hander. We saw him out of the bullpen. His major league debut was actually here in Seattle versus our club earlier in July. And we saw his fastball up to 95 miles an hour. He pitches as a starter between 90 and 93 for the most part with a good crisp carry. He got a changeup and a split. We like both pitches. The changeup is an exceptional pitch. And his breaking ball is just okay. He's got a feel to throw it for a strike, and it's not his primary weapon. He mostly pitches fastball, changeup, split. And he throws strikes. He's got some power to his stuff. He has a pitch in his changeup that allows him to miss bats. He's athletic, and he has multiple options left and is an affordable power left-hand arm. We're just going to run him out there and see how it goes.
Dave and I were talking before the show about Wade Miley. You sent him to Baltimore for Miranda. And so he had three good starts, his last three starts for the Mariners, including no-hitting the Cubs through six innings in his last start. Did that make it more difficult for you to pull the trigger on that deal?
Not at all. You know, we felt like with Wade, it had been a generally disappointing year with Wade, and And he had pitched very well these last three starts, culminating what I think was his best outing as a Mariner, including the shutout he threw here against the Royals at home back in May. But, you know, Wade had his moments. He was up and down for us. But, you know, in the end, we had Taiwan Walker projected to return to the rotation, which, you know, and now we anticipate happening this weekend. We needed to create a space. If you'll recall, when we left spring training, we left James Paxton in AAA in order to create space in the rotation. And since we picked him up from the Blue Jays, Wade LeBlanc has been very effective for us and fits our ballpark, and he's done a nice job. So with that all in mind, we felt like if we had the opportunity to get younger, to get more flexible, and to create some options, like we did with Ariel Miranda, we were going to backfill that roster spot with Taiwan Walker anyway. So, you know, we move forward with James Paxton, Taiwan Walker, Kuma, Felix, and Wade LeBlanc as our five, and we do feel like there's some starting pitching starting to sneak up on the big leagues, most notably guys like Andrew Moore, who's really thrown the ball well in Double-A. So, you know, 2017 and beyond is starting to look, you know, a little brighter in terms of our depth. And for right now, with Miranda, with Zach Lee, with the group of really six that we have at the major league level, we felt like moving Wade was the best call for present and future.
Jerry DePoto is with us, his weekly visit here on Danny David Moore Thursdays at 3:30. And Jerry, Guillermo Heredia is leading off tonight. He's been someone that's fun to watch and see, someone who's a pretty athletic outfielder, it looks like. What's your sort of assessment of him and where he might fit into the team in the future?
Yeah, you know, Guillermo, similar to Ariel Miranda, was signed without a lot of fanfare at 25 years old with a vast history in Cuba, you know, played in the industrial leagues as a young 20-something, even as a teenager. And the skills that he showed there, he's really translated well to the U.S. This is his first summer playing here in the United States. He hasn't played in almost 2 years. And he did a lot with the bat. We started him at Double-A and tried to move him slowly. And he forced our hand. He is very athletic. He can really play outfield defense. He throws well. And as you can see, he runs quite well. This is the model, that athletic outfielder who can cover some ground that we've been talking about since dating back to last September. And, you know, it takes time to get these guys and gather them up. But we do feel like Guillermo's a part of what we're trying to do, building toward the future. Right now, we're going to match him up against left-handers as best we can. I think it certainly doesn't look great when you look at his stat line, but if you're watching over the course of this last 5 or 6 days, he's hitting some really bad luck. He's hit some screamers. They're right at people, but we love what he brings to the team in terms of athleticism, even if just a late-inning defensive replacement on the current club.
The other thing that we've seen, Jerry, obviously the change in the bullpen, Edwin Diaz going into that closer role, is that something, I don't want to ask if it's difficult because he's pitched exceptionally well. At the same time, this is his first year relieving. He's still a very young player. Is there a concern that might be a little too much for him and the scrutiny and focus that comes at that position?
No, I don't think so. You know, and it's oddly enough, even though I stunk as a player, that's something that I experienced as a rookie. You know, my first year in the big leagues, I came up and I pitched in middle relief for a couple of months, and then I wound up closing for the last three or thereabouts. And, the experience, once it's almost like you're growing in a greenhouse. Once you get the experience of having been around the big leagues for 30 days, 60 days, you're comfortable in what you do. Pitching the ninth inning is just about your makeup. And, you know, Edwin has shown extraordinary makeup. He's generally as cool as they come. He's shown not a single bit of fear in what he's doing. And last night's the first time we ever saw him even look itchy on the mound. He has been terrific since the day he got here. I think he's deserved the opportunity to pitch deeper in games. He's been electric when pitching in the seventh or the eighth since arriving. And, you know, obviously with Steve's recent struggles and now landing on the disabled list, Edwin's our best relief pitcher. And, you know, we're gonna run him out there and give him opportunity. The one thing we're not going to do is send him out there without a net. You know, we're still trying to bring him along as a reliever, cultivate him in a role, and we're not going to pitch him. For instance, he will not pitch tonight in all likelihood. He's pitched, I think, four of the last 5 days, three of the last four, for sure. And, you know, he's been up on that middle day. We don't want to wear him down. We want to keep him fresh and develop him. So, you know, if we have a safe situation tonight, Scott and the guys are going to figure out another way to get through it, because, you know, his future is as important to us as his present.
And Jerry, you mentioned his makeup, and I guess from a distance watching it, it seems like he's oblivious to the pressure. Like, he doesn't really care. Talk about some of the traits that, you know, personality-wise, I guess, that you have to be a closer.
Well, you got to have, I think one of the things Edwin has, he's humble, but he's got a little bit of a flair to him. He's very confident in what he does. And I think the greatest thing you can have as a closer is a short memory. It's not, you have to remember what the hitter's about. But at the end of the day, you can't remember yesterday's failure, because you're going to have failure. You're going to blow a save. You're going to give up a key homer, and you just can't carry it with you to the next out. You know, the greats of all time, the Trevor Hoffmans, the Mariano Riveras, the Dennis Eckersley, they all had that trait. And they used the fear to motivate them. And none of them, if you saw them blow a save on a Monday, which was a rare thing for all of them, but they'd be just fine coming back in the same situation on a Tuesday. And we've seen that from Edwin. You know, he's not been out there in a safe situation, but we've seen him give up the game-losing homer on a couple of occasions, actually. And he bounces back the next day. His fastball has been as electric as any single pitch in the game. And as we've watched his slider evolve, it too has turned into a real weapon. And teams come in now, and the first thing we're asked by visiting executives or coaches, staff, managers, is about Edwin. And it's I think the crowd enjoys it, that the group around the league, the players in the league who haven't seen him yet, he's a bit of an attraction right now, and that's fun for us.
Jerry, it sounds like Ketel Marte and Nick Vincent are going to play for Everett this weekend. Rehab starts or getting a couple innings in anyway. What's the outlook for them? Do you think they'll be back by the time you go to Oakland for the road trip next week?
I would say yes on both. You know, we anticipate getting Ketel back maybe before this homestand is through. You know, if we're lucky in time for the Detroit series, but more likely when we leave town and head to Oakland. Nick Vincent, probably a little bit shorter. We're going to take it, you know, outing by outing with Nick. Obviously, it's going to be a little more timely. Ketel had a different issue. You know, he lost quite a bit of weight. We're trying to rebuild his strength, and he's also a young player that's still trying to figure himself out and hone his game. Nick's been through it for a while. He has thrown simulated games. We're very comfortable with where he is physically, and once he's comfortable facing hitters, whether that's in, you know, one or two outings or three or four, remains to be seen. But I would anticipate with no setbacks that both of them are on the road trip with us to Oakland and on our active roster.
I'm curious, Jerry, you were linked to rumors anyway of acquiring the Red shortstop, Zach Cozart. And I was thinking, well, wait a minute, you got a shortstop. Was it more about Marte being out with mono, or was it also something where you feel like Marte needs a little more development time while he gets ready to be big league ready?
Well, I mean, for obvious reasons, I'm not going to talk about somebody else's player and whether or not we were involved in trade discussions with them. But we're looking for opportunity wherever it is. And if there is an opportunity for us to acquire controllable players who we think are very good at what they do and allow us to build depth on our roster, we're going to do that. So sometimes that happens from the top down, and sometimes it happens from the bottom up. And, you know, in the case that you're talking about, it would have been top down. And, you know, we still have every belief in Ketel Marte. Unfortunately for him, he's sitting on the sidelines with mono. But, you know, if we have an opportunity to make our club better, we're going to take that opportunity. And, you know, it's not that we're unwilling to wait through with young players. I think you've seen since the day I got here and since Scott arrived, whether it be the situations with James Paxton and Mike Zanino, allowing for young players to develop at a better pace and putting them in a position to maximize their talent, I think we've stayed committed to that, and it's working with those players. And I don't think the either of those players was excited on the first day of the season when they started in Tacoma, but I'm pretty sure we're all happy with where they are today. And you know, the same can be said of others on the roster. We'll figure out what the right timing is for each of them.
A couple more questions here for Jerry DePoto, Mariners general manager. Jerry, I was trying to put myself in your shoes at the trade deadline where everybody's expecting this buy or sell sort of decision. And you've got a team with such a good, solid veteran nucleus. some metrics that would indicate a really successful season, whether it's run differential or some of the things that go into the Pythagorean win expectation. Has that made it tough to decide exactly what you have, that some of those results have not actually sort of corresponded to the win-loss record?
Well, I think it's been, you know, it's tough, but it's also not particularly difficult at all. When you, two things that really stand out with our team are three, actually, that have negatively affected us. You know, every metric you look at, we should be better than we are. And we're sitting here at 54 and 52. We are, it's, you know, August 4th, and we are still in the playoff discussion. And I think that's a really positive thing. But we have not played defense the way we need to play defense to play at a championship level. And we all know that. I think it's something we've acknowledged, and it's not for lack of trying. We're out there working on it every day, and we'll improve hopefully these last 50 some odd days, 56 games, and see where we go. That's one thing. The other is we've just given up too many untimely home runs. It's as simple as that. We've struggled at times to keep the ball in the ballpark. In aggregate, our pitching, as we've talked about, I think we're fourth in the league in ERA right now, which is it's a fairly lofty standard. Unfortunately, we have given up some really untimely homers, and I don't know if that's bad luck or bad timing, but that, it's real. And similarly, on the offensive side, we've done a nice job of getting on base among the league leaders for top handful of teams in the league, and getting on base and slugging, and for most of the season in scoring runs. But we have not been terribly productive with runners in scoring position, particularly trying to get them home from third with less than two outs. So those are three areas that we need to improve. We focus on them every day, and I know our guys are aware of it. And it's if we bring it up too often or stress it too often, you start to press. And it's when you press, you don't play as well. But we know there are issues, and we can probably pull the string back and figure out why we've not been as good as our metrics say we should be.
Hey, Jerry, David Ortiz in town and making sort of his farewell tour here. Did you see Cruz and Cano and I think Felix out there with those clocks around their necks? Do you know what that was a reference to?
I truly don't know. I think it was a reference to some type of rap artist that they're all that they're fans of, as best I can tell. But I do know that the watch that they presented them with and the painting that they gave them last night pregame, that was something that they did, you know, Robbie and Felix, the guys on the team, Nelly, out of respect for David Ortiz, which I think is really nice. You know, they went out and on their own, bought him a gift and commissioned a painting, which yeah. I think that made them very unique. And obviously we as an organization, because David started his career here many years ago as David Arias, we presented him with a copy of his first contract and a framed piece that showed him as a Mariners farmhand. And I thought that was fantastic, but by far, outside of winning the game, the highlight for me was watching David Ortiz in the middle of the fishmongers as they were tossing salmon toward his head. That's probably the last time he's ever going to experience that in his life.
Yeah, it's really cool. I wonder if you're like me. I'm a huge NFL fan, and when guys retire, you almost get kind of bummed out. I mean, you're going to be watching games next year without David Ortiz. Does that ever hit you?
I've had three seasons of my post-playing career that I've worked, you know, all or part with the Red Sox. And during all three of them, I was there when we signed David Ortiz as a free agent back in the winter of 2002 going into 2003. I was there when we won a World Series in 2004. And then I was there, you know, briefly last summer with the Red Sox in a special assignment role. And David, not only has he been a great player, and he's been kind of an iconic Red Sox player for the last, you know, decade plus, but he's fun. He's fun to be around, just as jovial as he seems on the field and as much fun as he has with the fans in the moment. That's him when the lights are off as well. So it's, you know, he's the kind of guy you pull for. You enjoy being around him. I'd like for one more day to keep his bat generally quiet and then let him go ahead and beat up the rest of the league until October.
Did you ever face him?
Never did. No, unfortunately, I'm too old, and he was in the wrong league.
I will say that I thought my favorite present that was given to him last night was the 99-mile-an-hour fastball that Edwin Diaz hurried up there there in the bottom of the ninth. Jerry, you're always really patient. We really appreciate the time you spend with us. It helps us understand what you guys are doing, and really, we're just grateful that you're willing to do this each and every week. I know it's been a lot of fun.
No, oh, I enjoy it. The easiest thing for me to do is talk about what I love. I love this team. I love the way these guys are playing. And, you know, and frankly, all the adversity we've battled for these last 4 months is they're coming through. If we use one more pitcher, God knows we got to be setting a record. But they're battling, and we're hanging in there in this playoff race. And I think that's a lot to be said for the character of the guys down there.
It certainly is. It's going to be a fun weekend there. Jerry, thanks so much for your time.
You got it, fellas.